made a personal decision a couple of days ago. I don't know if it was the best decision, but after I heard the start times for game 3 and 4 of the NLDS, I realized, wow, I'm not going to be able to go, which is new for me. I've been to almost every Met playoff game ever. And so it was tough to take. It was like a midlife crisis. Like, oh, man, I can't be at that playoff game. But, hey, I'm at a good place. I'll be with you guys. We'll be on the air until 6:30. The game start at 5 o'clock. So as I was going through those emotions of knowing I won't be at Citi Field for a Met playoff game, an idea popped into my mind. And it worked so effectively 3 years ago when I couldn't go to Mets opening day.
Okay.
I decided to go with my dad to Citizens Bank Park to see Mets-Phillies opening night. It was when the Mets had their original series of the year postponed due to COVID. And so it was their opening day. And what it did is it took the sting away from not being at Mets opening day. So I said to my wife Friday night, I whispered into her ear, I said, I got a crazy idea. And she's like, oh, really? I said, no, not that. I mean, I got to get the kids to fall asleep. I said, what about going to Philly on Sunday? And she's like, okay. Can you make it work with the football? I said, yeah. I'm going to watch the Jets in the morning on DVR. I'm going to watch the Giants when I get home. Not a big deal. I'll miss the other NFL action. Sucks, but I can do that for a week. Let's go to Philly. And I feel like that would have made me feel better from missing Met home playoff games. Plus, what a great experience. Take my son to his first Met playoff game. Go with my dad. Go with my wife. This is great. And so we did it. We pulled it off. I bought 4 tickets, upper deck, first row of the upper deck, above home plate, my favorite kind of seat. I'm like, this is amazing.
Okay.
And when I got there.
What's the but?
There's a few buts. So, look, the environment was what it was. Yeah. Most people in Philadelphia are actually really nice. Most people in Philadelphia are actually really classy. But they've got more trash living in their city than we do. Mm. That's how I want to frame it.
Are you saying that about me?
What?
More trash?
No. I wasn't even thinking about you. Like, there were a lot of nice people in Philadelphia. I want to make that clear. A lot of people who had the good-natured humor with us Met fans in Philadelphia. I would say it was 85% of the people. But in most cities, it's not 85%, it's 95%. In Philadelphia, there's a high quotient of just absolute trash living in that city. And I happen to be surrounded by said trash. In fact, a little bit later on, we've got a very special Cinco de Trasho, in which I will give the 5 examples of trash I ran into while in the city of Philadelphia.
The trashy. You don't get that, do you?
No.
Fraggles?
Oh. No, sorry.
No.
Over my head.
Yeah.
But maybe for a big part of the audience, they love it. So we're at the game, and we all know what happened in the game, right? We all understand. Mark Vientos hit a 2-run home run. Pete went solo. Severino's dominating. The Mets have a 3-0 lead. And I think we all experienced the game, even if I was there. I'm dealing with these people, the awkward silence and the boos as they're losing, and then the absolute destruction of what happened against Sevy in the 6th inning. You know, the killer part of that inning was that he's ahead of Trey Turner 1-2. He's through the 6th inning.
Yeah.
And as soon as he gave up the base hit to Trey, the fear in my heart was Bryce is going to bring him back in the game. I was so confident of it, I started filming it. Because I wanted to remember the pain that I was about to be inflicted with, and it's exactly what happened. Please. He had a 2-run bomb.
You got it live on your phone.
I did. I tweeted it out for anyone who wants to see the video.
Lord.
It's awful. It's just disgusting.
You are a glutton for pain.
I just knew.
Self-inflicted pain.
Well, going there means I really want the
too.
Pain.
At least you didn't run into faux cheeks like we did in
no, luckily.
In the basketball game.
No, that's true. Nick Castellanos hits the home run to tie it, and obviously there's this sinking feeling of, wow, this is going to suck. Mets had a 3-0 lead in the 6th inning, and they blew the game. And then they take the lead again. And it's like, oh my God, are they going to win this game? Mm-hmm. And then we know the decision to go to Edwin Diaz in the 7th, which I loved. That's what Edwin Diaz is there for. You use him against your best players. And then really what killed him was pitching around Bryce Harper. He needed to attack Bryce Harper.
Right.
He needed to go after Bryce Harper.
Right.
He didn't.
What's the worst that you're going to do? You're going to give up a home run.
Yeah.
Which is whatever.
Yeah, well, it's not whatever, but it's not as bad as giving up the lead, obviously.
It is better than giving up the lead.
Right. It's better than giving
it's
up
better than a 2-run triple.
Right. So obviously that happens. And when Bryson Stott got that bases clearing triple, the place moved. I'll put Philly over. The place moved. It was shaking. It was very loud. It was as amazing an environment as one could experience. And I am man enough to admit that. But when Mark Vientos, oh my God, hit that game-tying home run in the 9th inning, right after Lindor did it again. He's right. Behind in the count 0-2. He gets a base hit. We are very quiet. Like the way we celebrated, my son, who's 8. What an idiot I was bringing him there. My wife, my father was, we were like, I can't believe it. We're very, very quiet. But when they lost the game the way they did, and I had a big issue with Tyler McGill pitching the ninth inning, I wouldn't have used him. I would have gotten his ass out the game. I don't want Tyler McGill. Who would I go to? Ryan Stanek?
I guess so.
And it's amazing I'm saying that. I didn't like the idea of Tyler McGill being in that spot against those hitters. And he almost got through it. He got the first two guys out, and it was the same problem. Walking Trey Turner was a killer. At that point, pitching around Bryce, I understand. And then he's ahead of Castellanos 1-2, and he hangs a slider.
Yeah.
But when he hits that slider in the left field, and obviously everybody goes nuts, and everyone gets to shut the TV off, which is great. That's the perk of not going to the game. You shut the TV off. We dealt with the pain of getting out of that building. And because of that, I wasn't as hurt as maybe you think I would be after a loss like that. You may have been able to even tell in the drive home, Rico, there was more like okayness from the drive home, Rico, because my thought when that game ended was, I need to get out of here alive. I need Jet to be okay. I need my wife to be okay. I need my dad in his Tug McGraw jersey to be okay. And we just need to survive. And we did. It wasn't easy. I had some incidences on the way out.
Really?
But we survived.
You have a kid with you. You have an 8-year-old.
Doesn't matter, Tiki. They're animals. 15% of them are. So when I got into the car and I did the Rico and I'm driving home, I got to be honest, it felt like, as painful as it was like, okay, it was a bad loss, you know? I was like everyone else now. Like, positive Tommy created a trend. Everybody's positive. Greg Giannotti this morning, one of the most negative Met fans I've ever met, was like, yeah, we'll win at City. And I'm like, what the hell got into him?
Right.
So, congrats, positive Tommy. You have inflicted your positivity on everybody.
Trendsetter, one would say.
I give you credit. So, Gio's... I mean,
don't you think of this weekend as a win?
Well, I'll get to that.
You have to.
I'll get to that. So positive Tommy's positive, which I expect. Oh, I get that. Gio's positive. I'm getting emails in the Rico. Positivity. This is all right. It felt like a win. As I'm getting closer to home, because I kind of had that positivity.
Yeah.
Like, I felt the same way leaving the building. That's why I was, I guess, okay blowing a 3-0 lead in the sixth inning, blowing a lead in the eighth inning, losing on a walk-off. Because if that's a regular season game, I'd be really pissed off. It's a playoff game. You'd think I'm 10 times more pissed off. But again, I think the focus on my family kind of made it where I was Tommy, where I was G, where I was with everyone else. Like, ah, it's okay. We got a split. And then I was driving. I had that sinking feeling. And then when I went to sleep, I could not sleep last night. All I could think about was that 1-2 slider to Nick Castellanos. All I could think about was 3-2 to Bryson Stott. Diaz was ahead of him in that inning, too.
Yeah.
And he gets the... All I could think about was every individual moment that made my stomach just want to freaking collapse. And so, Tiki, to answer your question, I'm thrilled that they split in Philadelphia. And positive Tommy, I probably have some positivity about what's going to happen at Citi Field the next 2 days.
Yeah.
I'm with you guys, but I'm pissed off. Like, those three things can all commingle with each other. Because the more I think about it, the more I'm removed from that zoo environment, the more I realize it was right there.
True, but I saw this today, and it's so right. October Magic isn't just reserved for the Mets.
I understand.
And the Phillies are damn good.
I'm not surprised by
and
that.
And they have studs. Bryce is a stud.
Mm-hmm.
Castellanos is a pain in the ass. Like, you got to deal with these. Like, they've been the best team in the division all season long for the most part. So why would you think it would be easy?
I didn't. Never said I thought it. So, in fact, I knew.
That's why I asked. Is how do you not see this as a win?
Okay,
like,
so
you go on the road, you dramatically win game one.
Tiki, what you said about you should have known, I completely agree with you. I knew up 3-0 it wasn't going to be easy. I have more respect for the Phillies than probably anybody else around here, it seems. Because it seems like we take them for granted. What they've done the last 2 years in the postseason is magic.
Right.
I mean, yes, they collapsed against the Diamondbacks last year, but prior to that, like, I respect them. I respect that team. That is a really good team. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I believe the best team in Major League Baseball is the Philadelphia Phillies. They're not perfect. There have been teams in the last decade that are better, but for 2024, yes, I think they're better than the Dodgers. Yes, I think they're better than the Yankees. No offense, obviously. It's not about that. I'm just showing you that I do respect them. And yeah, I thought 3-0, even after the Alonso home run, if we win this game, it's not going to be easy. If we win this series, it's not going to be easy. So yeah, I'm not surprised. And yeah, I'm thrilled they got a split. But I can't remove myself from the fact that it was right there.
Yeah,
they had two late leads against this team, and they blew it twice.
Right, but wasn't it right there for the Braves last Monday? Wasn't it right there for the Brewers? Wasn't it right there?
So what does that mean? I can't then be upset when we blow it?
No, it's October. It's playoff baseball.
I got you, man.
You can't say we should have or we could have because you didn't. The other team did.
I get you.
And it just gets harder at this point.
It does.
And we know this. And it's finishing. It's finishing games. It's finishing moments. It's finishing at-bats. It's finishing whatever. You got to finish it. And it sucks because you're right. It was one or two pitches per individual that you're talking about, whether it was Diaz, whether it was McGill, whatever. It's one or two moments that you just have a bad thought, bad placement.
They let, and this is the scary part, because you're right about the Philadelphia Phillies. The Philadelphia Phillies were the Mets before the Mets were the Mets. Mm. For the last 2 years, that's who we were.
Yeah.
Their magic 2 years ago that got them to a World Series that seemingly came out of nowhere, that's us now.
Yeah.
What they did last year until the very end when they lost 6-7 at home, that was us. They've got guys with a flair for dramatic. The Philadelphia Phillies are legit, and we just allowed them back into this. And this is going to be a war, and it's not going to be easy. Now, can the Mets split at Citi Field and win a game 5 in Philadelphia? Yes, they can.
Of course.
Yes, they can, and yes, we can.
Or
I would ideally not have to do that.
Or win 2 at City.
That would be ideal. But can they outlast Zach Wheeler again? Yes. Can they go to that loud environment again and beat them? Yes. But it does feel like it would be a lot better if they can find a way over the next 2 nights at a raucous City Field to finish the job. It scares me. Much like game 2 against Milwaukee scared me, in fairness. It scares me when you miss an opportunity to step on a team's throat. I talked about that with you last week before game 3. And there are a lot of examples, whether it's the Knicks in game 3 against Indiana, the Rangers in game 3 against Tampa Bay, like game 2, Mets Cardinals 2006, like early in series, you have a chance to eliminate someone. And look, it didn't matter.
Or not eliminate them, just put them on the ropes.
Put them on the ropes, not fully eliminate
them. They're not done, but if you go up 2-0 Mets, and you have 2 in City, they're on the road.
Yeah.
They're desperate.
And that's why I get the positivity. I get the confidence that the Met fan has. Like, this reminds you, right, of 99 and 2000. The Mets had a best of 5 on the road, or even 15 against the Dodgers. 3 other division series that they've won where they got the split and came home and finished the job. Not in the Dodger case, it went to a game 5. But in the San Francisco case of 2000. The Arizona case of 99. And by the way, the Philadelphia Phillies have never, ever, ever, ever won a postseason series in which they've lost game 1. Think about that for a second. That's kind of unbelievable. So, I have a lot of hope. I'm damn excited to share that moment of Citi Field playoff baseball with you guys tomorrow at 5 o'clock and not be in my section 318. But I'm nervous that they blew the opportunity that was right in front of them. And as the day has gone on, it's bothered me more and more.
Right. So what are we doing, by the way?
With what?
Tomorrow.
It's going to be
Are we not watching? Or
what do you mean, are we not watching?
Because you're not going to be able to see. Are you going to stay here and watch the whole thing?
I am staying at WFAN through the duration of the game.
So that means that we can start watching the game at a normal time.
Did you think I was going to ask you to not watch it so I could DVR it?
Yes.
Yes, you're sick, Evan. Yes.
Because your convoluted mind would think that would be okay with us as well.
No, I would never allow that. That's not good for anybody. What we will do, obviously, we hope that you listen to our program even during a Met playoff game. We'll talk about it. We'll keep you posted. So it's not a full live watch party, but we will watch the game. We will talk about things as they happen, but also talk about Devontae Adams being traded to the Jets, because I have a feeling that's going down tomorrow.
Keep emptying that cupboard.
Right.
And obviously also talking Yankees, because the Yankees are coming off of a game 2 that occurs tonight. So we will be on the air throughout the Mets game. We also invited our contest winner, the winner of the Met tickets, to join us live from Citi Field to give us their perspective on what's going on. So yes, we'll be together. And I hope the Mets can finish the job. And oddly, I have confidence like everyone else does. It's just that I'm not celebrating it as much because game 2 was a bitter loss. It was a very bitter loss, and I don't know how anyone could deny that.
So, Evan, you have a right to be pissed off.
Thank you.
I will give you that. But I do think a lot of your pissed offness has to do for the fact that you were there. I think if you had consumed that game in your basement or in your man cave, you wouldn't be as pissed off. You were in the belly of the beast with your family about around a bunch of hooligans. Let's
But you
start
know why
with that.
I don't think that's the case, Luke? Because in the initial aftermath of the game, I wasn't as angry as I thought I'd be. I was more focused on, all right.
Yeah, because you were in survival mode.
Yeah, I was in survival mode.
You were trying to get your father, your kid, your wife out of there without getting like beer thrown on you. So you were in survival mode. You got out of there. Now that you're digesting the game, see, my positivity is at an all-time high because they fought back yesterday. They showed.
They did.
They showed.
I agree with that.
Incredible fight. They've shown incredible fight. And this Mets team, to me, deals better with adversity than any other team in baseball. It's almost as if they have the Phillies right where they want them.
Well,
this team is almost better when there's something in front of them, you know, when there's adversity.
What's crazy about what you're saying is take a look at the Met victories in the postseason and take a look at their losses. And let's include game 161 as an example because it was like a playoff game. They're down 3-0 in the eighth inning, right? Then they take the lead and then they blow the lead again. That is the definition of adversity. Game one, they got off to a terrible start. We were thinking Severino wasn't even going to get through the first inning.
Right.
And they responded. It turned into an easy victory, but it didn't start that way, right? And then the other win was being 1-0 down to the Phillies into the eighth inning. And they won. Those are the three games they won. And then you look at the losses. They blow a game against the Brewers in the eighth inning of game two, and the game that they blew yesterday where they had a lead in the sixth, and they had a lead in the eighth. So well, it is weird that it seems like they win the games that feel, but then they lose the games that they have.
But all of these games are going to be like that. It's the playoffs, and guys aren't, we'll get them tomorrow.
There can be a normal game.
I know, but nobody.
Not with this Met team.
Well, yeah, the Met team, the Mets have been playing like this for, I don't know, a month and a half.
I know.
You deal with it, but all these other teams, the Phillies currently, we're not living for another day. We can get them tomorrow. Like, you can't afford to do that at this point. And so there's just a heightened urgency, awareness. And you see it from the best players. They play at a high level when they have to.
I do have to ask one question from the Bronx for Evan, though.
Mm-hmm.
If and when the Phillies get past the Mets and we get to a Yankee-Philly World Series, did the hooligans you sat with yesterday make you actively root for the Yankees in that World Series?
It's a great question. That is a very good question, and it's such a great question. I thought about that last night.
I knew you would.
And I would tell you that in this moment, the answer is yes. They were so disgusting and such awful human beings. Imagining them celebrating a championship actually pains me, but there is a caveat.
Okay.
And the caveat is, if there is a Yankee-Philly World Series, that's weeks away. That's time to let the wounds heal. That's time to remind myself I never have to go back into that disgusting city. So, as the famous wrestling line goes, cards subject to change.
Got it.
But as of right now, did my experience make it more likely I would root for the Yankees in a Yankee-Philly World Series? Oh, hell yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, enjoy that. I'm glad you have that moment that you can enjoy.
Yankee fans, that was me acknowledging you.
So, Evan, you brought something up, and this is part of the way you are as a fan, and you're wired this way, and I think Tiki will appreciate this. Evan wants it to be easy, and I get that. I respect that.
Of course.
We all love if it was 8-0 every game, but it's not.
Yeah.
And to quote a great baseball man, Jimmy Dugan, if it was easy, everyone would do it. What makes it hard is what makes it great.
I agree with that, even though I prefer they win 9-0 and 12-2 in games 3 and 4.
We've had three classics in one week.
I agree.
I know.
I think that my view of that experience yesterday in Philadelphia will be altered by what happens next. If the Mets win this series, I think I'll look back at that experience and say, you know, I'm so glad I did it. It was actually fun. We got the last laugh. Yay. But if we lose, that's going to be one of those like horrific sports moments that I want to erase from my mind.
And one thing you said also off the air to me is that you felt yesterday at that game, and I felt this way in game 6, but the opposite with Knicks Sixers, you said had the Mets won the game, you actually felt like you would have been safer and it would have been easier to get your family out of there because the Philly fans, like they did on Saturday, would have quit, would have left early. And I felt that way at the Knicks game. I'm like, dude, if the Sixers win this game, because you could feel it at halftime, remember they kind of blew a lead.
Yeah.
I was like, this is going to get real ugly, and me and Evan are going to be here with the janitors basically 4 hours after the game, but we're not getting out of here.
So when the Mets were up 3-0, and don't take this as a jinx, but I did make the comment to my wife or my father, I forget which one, where I said, we got to run up the score because we got to get these people out of here.
Right.
Like, if they can make this an ugly blowout victory, people are going to leave.
Right.
And even though, yes, the drunkards will stay and there's a level of danger there, less people make it easier. Once that game was tight, like, Vientos hits the home run and I'm silent celebrating.
Yeah, you know everybody's there for the long haul.
No doubt. And I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to get out of here? How are we going to get out of here in one piece if the Mets win? Because now you're dealing with angry, pissed off, drunk people. So the thought I had was, we're going to stay in our seat. We're going to wait for everybody to leave, you know, kind of celebrate privately, and then we'll leave. But I actually thought that the Phillies winning was beneficial to all of our chances of getting out of there in one piece.
That's a good point.
They were everything you expect. Like, I give Philadelphia that. Everything you believe they are, they are.
When was the last time you went to a game in Philly?
Last year, Knicks Sixers.
I mean, like, where they cared about it.
Well, I mean, they didn't care about a game six?
No. No, because they were gone. They were gone quick.
So I went to numerous Brooklyn Nets Sixer playoff games, and I think they cared about it, but I don't think they cared about us. Like, just to put it nicely, like, they looked at the Nets. They looked at me and my wife as if we were like artifacts. Like, what? Is that a... hold on. Is that the dodo bird over there? So, and honestly, like, it was actually very comfortable because we were such a non-threat to them.
It
was like, I didn't even know a Net fan existed. So I thought that was easy, but I did go to two Net Sixer playoff games, and I never felt even close to the level of disgust that I felt last night. It wasn't even on the same planet in terms of how they acted.
And this is why a couple of years ago, Eagles, Giants, Saturday night, remember, they're not going to church before the game. They're drinking all day long.
Oh.
No, but you were sending Giant fans to basically their execution that night. You got to be a fan. You got to go down there. I'm like, these maniacs are going to be drinking from 11 a.m. The game starts at 8 o'clock. We all know what happened. And now you understand where I was coming from.
Yes, I take my L. No. I shouldn't have told Giant fans. I got nothing to be afraid of. Have a good old time. We'll get back to your calls next. 888-808-1019. Joe Beningo coming up in a half hour. Plus, yesterday's Giant game almost broke Sean Marash. We have the audio proof of it. We continue to bounce around through the quadrant of sports insanity. The New York Giants win. The New York Jets lose. The Mets are 1-1 against the Phillies. And we'll give you extended Yankee pregame coming up as they get set for game two of the ALDS against Kansas. I think this Odyssey app was made for a time of year like right now as we deal with the quadrant of sports insanity, the Giants, the Jets, the Mets, and the Yankees. So I'd advise you, if you rewind our show to the right at the top, you'll hear Tiki's excitement over Brian Daboll and the New York Football Giants winning a game very few people thought. If you kind of move a little forward to about 2:15, you'll hear my anger and disgust at the quarterback of the New York Jets, Aaron Rodgers. And if you go to around 3:00, you hear the wonderful experience of being in Philadelphia for a Mets-Phillies game two. So we try to hit on everything. We'll certainly get to the Yankees, especially as we get closer to game time, as they're on their way to play game two against the Kansas City Royals. The great Joe Beningo will join us coming up at 4:00. So he's about 20 minutes away. I don't know if you know this, Tiki, because you were doing a brilliant job calling the Giant game. But we almost lost Sean Marash yesterday. There was a moment in Giants game that almost broke him.
Did you have a heart attack or something?
It sounded that way. Before you say anything, Sean, we take you back to last night at halftime. Sean talking about the fumble that turned into the 101-yard return for a touchdown.
I can't even have a baseball conversation on the air tomorrow. That is horse you know what. I'll just say... The ball broke the plane. That's it. Period. Giants touchdown. How the hell that's even possible? And CBS take 50 more commercials to show us a replay. What a screw job.
What a screw job.
I was fired up. I was pissed off, Todd, at that time.
Out of respect to you and Tiki, I'm just going to give you my opinion, then I'm going to shut up.
Yeah.
I think they got it right. I don't think it was a touchdown. I don't think there was any way they could overturn it. Yeah. I think it was clearly a fumble at a touchdown return.
Tiki, before you go on.
Not clearly, but go ahead.
Do you think the Philly fans were bad to you yesterday? You think they were hooligans?
Oh, yeah.
Say it again, and I'm going to come over, and I'm going to wreck your face worse than any Philly fan. Now Tiki can talk.
So this is why, I mean, we always talk about this, why you don't blow the whistle when something like this happens. You let it play out, because no matter what happens, especially if it's a turnover, then you have to review it. And so because they called it a turnover, return for a touchdown, you can't reverse it. It's just inconclusive.
But if they called it a touchdown, it's the same thing. They have to review it, right?
So it's one of those scoring plays reviewed. That's why the problem with it.
It's a double deucer.
But if it's called a touchdown and the play is called dead, mm-hmm. and they review it and they say it's a fumble, then
you lose the recovery.
Exactly. Well,
or the touchdown.
You lose the touchdown. They just get the ball at the half-yard line. Or maybe it's a touchback because it was probably in the end zone. So it just you have to just let it play out. And that because of how they had to let it play out, it was bad for the Giants.
There was not enough.
If they would have called it the other way,
right. If
they would have called touchdown, I think it stands as a touchdown.
I agree. Now, maybe that'll make Sean not want to physically attack me. No. Whatever they called on the field, there was never going to be enough evidence to overturn it. That's all I'm telling you.
Now, hold on. You're right and wrong at the same time. I understand what Tiki's saying, and I understand what you're saying. But this is the problem, though, when we just throw our hands up and go, hey, not blow the whistle, let it play out. Because, in fact, and I've seen every frozen shot possible, and I went back and rewound whatever we could,
mm-hmm.
all it takes in the NFL...
is the crossing.
Is a millimeter of the ball...
Ball was coming loose.
And a millisecond...
The ball was coming loose?
It was not yet.
Like it was.
The problem is the angle. There's not a good angle.
The angle.
So
okay.
You can't tell when it's actually...
And if you can't tell, you can't overturn
it. But what is far
But what
more,
Sean is saying is that it's more likely... that a little piece with control in his hands, Eric Gray, that ball got a millimeter into the white.
That's what I'm saying. Common
sense. All it has to do is get into the white.
Right,
doesn't have to cross the white.
But
it's just got to get into the white.
And for what you guys are arguing, and I understand if I was a Seahawk fan and it was reversed, I would feel this way too. However, the most egregious outcome that can happen out of that play is that the Giants don't get rewarded, at least if they ruled it a touchdown and then saw enough that it was coming loose. I know the Seahawks get robbed of an incredible play. They still get the ball on a fumble recovery and a clear recovery.
Right.
The only outcome that can happen there is what happened where Seattle not only gets the ball, get the touchdown, and it's a 14-point swing in the game. That is egregious. And I know it's not your fault, Tiki. It was so frustrating because of a 10-minute drive to have that long a replay.
10 minutes of game clock time, which is like 28 minutes.
Go through commercials. You guys come back. Again, not your fault. They're lined up for the extra point. We still don't get a clean look. And then immediately upon kicking the extra point, it's more commercials.
Is that why your horse... Is that play the reason why you sound a little beat up now?
I sound a little beat up because everybody invited themselves over to my house at 9 a.m. for mimosas and Jets football, but nonetheless.
By the way, we were surprised by the commercial, too. Like, extra point, right back commercial. Extra point, right back to commercial. Because we were calling in Gene. We were like, Gene, we need... And we're like, oh, wait, we got to get Gene after the commercial.
But I just want to remind everybody, too, because I know the Giants played what feels like 11 weeks ago before yesterday.
Yeah.
But this is also coming at the heels of the Dallas game, where the game was so tight that it still came back to a face mask called on the wrong team.
Well, forget the face mask. It was the holding.
And then the hold, right. Everything,
the holding was worse.
Everything happened with the Giants-Cowboy game. That's why I was going nuts.
Well, I want to bring this now back fairly to the New York Yankees and the New York Mets, because I actually think this is all related in replay. So my argument to you and you, Teague, is that I can't tell what the real result is. All I know is that I don't think there's enough evidence to overturn whatever they called on the field.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, I want to take you back to Saturday late afternoon. Third inning, game one, Mets-Phillies. Trey Turner is picked off first base, but the call is safe.
Yeah, this was bad.
So they go to review, and you could tell it's very close, but you can slightly tell that Pete Alonso's glove, not his laces, his glove tags Trey Turner before he touches first base. It's very, very close, but there's clearly daylight between Turner and the bag when Pete tags him. The umpires come back and they say, nah, we're going to uphold it, I guess because it wasn't convincing enough. Now, luckily, they got out of the inning. I forget who was on. Oh, David Peterson was on the mound at that point. He got Castellanos to fly out. No harm, no foul. I want to take you to later that night. Jazz Chisholm steals second base. To me, this is the exact same situation.
Right.
It is really close.
He was out.
But there's just a little itsy-bitsy of daylight that shows he's out. Here's how fair I am.
Say daylight again, I'm going to punch you.
Why are you physically...
Because there was no daylight. Dirt against the bag.
Bro, there was daylight. I saw the replay. You can show it again. If you have video evidence that there was no daylight, produce it, and I will admit I'm wrong.
Oh my
but
God.
I watched the replay 10 times like we all did.
I'm going to freak out.
Okay, calm down over there. You may like the next thing I'm going to say.
It's safe. It's all good.
Yeah. Well, but
no kidding.
My opinion was this. If you aren't going to overturn the Trey Turner call, you can't overturn that one.
Yeah.
And forget your rooting interest, because I know Loogie hates the Yankees. I'm just being fair. Like, if you're going to say to the baseball world, yeah, not convincing enough, then you cannot overturn the Jazz Chisholm call in the seventh inning. So while I disagree with you, Sean, about the daylight, I think the umps at least were consistent about it, where they told you, look, if we're not overturning Trey Turner when he's out, we're not overturning this. And that's why I believe the umpires, at least if you're going to do it consistently.
Yeah. And this is video assistant, right? This is not the umps on the field.
Correct.
This is not the referees at football games. It's assisted by somebody else. Because remember, they used to do that. You remember the guy would walk over to the sideline in the NFL and he'd be have the little video screen and he'd be looking at it and like, dude, you're not going to get that right on that little tiny grainy scene. There's somebody who has a 100-inch television and some command center that can easily look at this and have a better clue.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they throw it to that and they still don't get it right, that's what's frustrating.
Yeah.
That's the more frustrating thing to me, is that you have the technology to get it correct and you get it wrong.
And technically, in the case of the Trey Turner play and the Jazz Chisholm play, they technically got it wrong. But if they're going to at least be consistent that they're not going to overturn it unless it's so obvious.
I think it's probably like margin of error thing. Mm. If it's so small that the naked eye can't see it in real time type of thing, then we have to just call it as it was. Because that's what it felt like. Right. And by the way, that was also the Eric Gray fumble.
Yeah.
Well, but here's where football's a little different than baseball. Two-parter here. All of it is so scrummed up on the goal line in football that it's almost always going to be inconclusive.
But it's also, there's never the right angle.
Right, that's
there's
the problem.
I don't know why they don't, I guess it would be hard to do. I don't know where you would put it, to have like a top-down view of the goal line. Because every angle is slightly skewed, so you can't actually tell.
Yeah, I think it's Sean, as a giant Yankee fan, if he was being fair and consistent, would say, you know what? As bad as you thought the Eric Gray call was, you got the Jazz call night before, so it evens itself out.
Stop cutting me off on this, because this is so freaking annoying.
I haven't cut you off once.
Because I need to finally get this out.
Why are you getting so mad at me?
Because I don't know what the hell TBS was doing. TBS, in this moment last night, or Saturday night, shows us five looks of that same look that Ron Darling, the Met Panderer, was after. And I love Ronnie. Hey, that was a bad moment. Bad moment for Ronnie. Wow. They give us one look, and don't tell me it's wrong, because I went back on my DVR, Evan, and watched where it was reversed, and you realize that one shot that everybody was going crazy about, the mitt is deceivingly there, is not actually making contact with the leg yet.
Produce the video. Just produce the still shot, and I will apologize.
The heel gets in there.
Okay, you're wrong, but okay.
And then the mitt touches him. But everybody fell for that picture, and you were all wrong.
Produce the pictures, okay? Thank you very much. Let's get to some of your calls. Diego in East Meadow. What's up, Diego? You're wrong. What's up, Diego?
Hey, boys.
Hey,
I wanted to agree with you guys, because I think yesterday was like for the first time in 2 years where on all phases of the game, the team was better prepared than the Seahawks, offensively, defensively, and even obviously calling that special teams call at the end. But Tiki, what I don't understand the whole game, and this is my one gripe with yesterday, they're running the ball. They have the Seahawks off balance. And then on that last drive, with a couple of minutes left, rather than running it out of those spread formations, creating space, they rather go jumbo and then try to just ram it up their gut. I don't get it if it was working the other way. And I know you got to run the ball, but it just baffled me that he went that route instead of keeping them spread out.
Honestly, Diego, I think it's just being safe. It's being prudent with ball security. Don't put yourself in an otherwise riskier situation. And so play it as safe as possible, especially because you know that you've been in control the whole game. And at this point, you trust your defense better than anything.
I think that's the other part. That's the part I'm thinking.
Right.
Him saying I trust the D.
Right. The one situation that I didn't like play calling-wise was the third down right before they punted back to the Seahawks, and then Geno goes and has that long
where
drive.
Daniel almost threw an interception.
Right.
That could have changed
and that
everything.
Really tight window. No, like he'd hit almost 90% of those throughout the game.
I know.
But because Jason and I could kind of disagree on what we should do, what they should do. And I said, move the pocket. Let Daniel run and find space and have some misdirection, which you had been killing them on all game long. Instead, it's just a quick throw. They get the ball back, and they ultimately, you know what happened, they make the stop and block the field goal. But, like, that was the risky play. Because if you get a first down there, game's basically
done.
Over.
No, I agree. It's over. Michael's in New York. What's up, Michael?
Michael, how you doing?
What's up, Mike?
Good, what's up?
Tiki, you're amazing, and your expertise is incredible and off the charts, particularly on days like today, but I'm here to talk to my fellow Met fan, Evan.
Yes, what's up?
Evan, I was born in 1962, the same year that the Mets were born. I've seen every moment in the last 62 years, because I just turned 62 a week ago.
All right, happy birthday.
Thank you very much. And I've got a pretty good attitude about what's happening right now, and I think it's going to be fine. And I think we're going to be cool, and I think we're going to beat the Phillies. That's my feeling. This has been a magic carpet ride. I have no idea why you would ever go to Philadelphia with your 8-year-old child.
You know why? You know why? Because of Positive Tommy. I'll tell you why. Because I needed to make sure that my son experienced playoff baseball.
I believe in Positive Tommy.
And out of positivity, I thought, you know what? Why not experience playoff baseball for the very first time, watching our team win on the road in one of the sweetest ways possible? Because the Mets are going to play home games at Citi Field the next 2 days, and I can't take him. And he's not going. You know what I mean? So I needed it to happen before we missed an opportunity. And so I thought about Positive Tommy. He was on my shoulder. And he said, go, go. The Mets will win. Positivity. Mark Vientos, rock star.
Right about that, by the way. Mm-hmm. Couple of home runs, including a clutch one.
Right. So I think it was the experience. Now, luckily, I made it out alive. If I didn't, I could be thrown in prison.
So instead of a win, young Jet got to experience disorderly conduct.
Yes.
Public urination.
Yes.
A mugging, maybe outside the game, fighting, everything under the sun. So he got life experience. Even if he didn't get baseball experience and a win, he got life experience.
You hit on a lot of stuff.
What you get in Philly.
And coming up at about 4:30, I'm going to give you a Cinco de Filtho about the five things that were so disgusting about Philadelphia. And you actually missed one of them. He actually may have witnessed, and this is so disturbing for an 8-year-old to witness, he may have witnessed live sex. That may have happened.
Hanky-panky, huh?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we came very close to a sex incident between two other people while at Citizens Bank Park. More details on that a little bit later on.
Second thought, let's go to game five.
You're interested. The great Joe Beningo coming up in a few minutes, plus more of your calls on everything. The Giants' great win, the Jets' horrible loss, the Mets being 1-1, and New York Yankees baseball. We'll begin our extended Yankee pregame coming up in a little bit as well as we get you set for game two of the ALDS. It is an action-packed Evan and Tiki on the Fan.